You know, love is such a powerful thing in our world today, right? In fact, love is so powerful. Last year, or the idea of love, in the U.S., they lost 10.05 billion pesos to love scams or online romance scams. I was just in the news literally the other day. I read it 2 days ago. Why did I bring this up? People are hungry for love, and we know where love comes from. So this series today, this first love, is so special to me. And I pray that we experience God's love so we can share it with others. What was the message last week? Love difficult people. How many of you practice loving difficult people? If you raise your hands, you're telling the person beside you they're difficult? No. I'm glad you practiced it. And we continue today with one of the aspects of loving people. In Ephesians 4:15, Paul tells us, but what? Speaking the truth, how? In love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. So today's message is love speaks truth, how? In love. So I've been trying to think of a way to help you learn it. I came up with an acronym. Have you ever heard of an acronym? So can you all stand with me? I know you just sat down and the seat's really comfortable, but we'll do this really quick. So the first action is love. What's a good action for love? Just touch your heart. It was simple. You can do this while you're sitting down. And then the next one is speaks. What is speak? Don't touch your mouth, but you can touch your mouth if you don't have dirty hands. But because of the virus, let's be careful. So you can just go like this. Love speaks. And then what's the next one? Truth. And then how? In love. So very simple, right? You begin here. Love speaks truth in love. Please sit down. So let's go back to the passage. It says, before he says Ephesians 4:15, which is speak the truth in love, the background in Ephesians is Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and I put it here. He implores them to walk in a manner worthy of their calling. We've been called, and we have to walk in a manner worthy of it. Coming to Jesus is just step one. After we come to Jesus, we now walk, and it's a growth process. So Paul is telling them, walk in a manner worthy. As you walk, before I'll go here so you don't read the verses. As you walk, what happens is you grow in maturity, you grow in unity as the body of Christ, and we've all been given gifts. God has given you unique gifts to use, and you are to use those gifts to build up the body of Christ. Some of us, by not using our gifts, we are, what's the word? You're not helping someone who could grow from your gifts. So many Christians, we stop at step one. We think, oh, I'm going to heaven, I'm okay. Now I'm going to live my life on earth. No, no, no. Once we're saved, once we come to Jesus, our life on earth is this journey to maturity, to growth. So Paul is saying, you grow. You use the skills and gifts and talents God has given you, and as you do that, you become a mature man. You have fullness in Christ, right? You grow up into that stature. And then what happens? Then he says this, as a result, we are no longer to be children. Remember, no longer step one. We're growing. Because when you're a young believer, or when you just come to know Jesus, there's still so many things in your head that aren't true. So what happens, we are tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. So we need to grow in truth so that we are not tossed about. So we don't get swayed by stuff we watch on YouTube, by truths that are not real, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. There's a lot of untruth in the world. There's a lot of doctrines that aren't based on the Bible. So, in CCF, we love it if you will always check what we say against the Bible. That is the source of truth. And as you do that, It says now, but speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up. Now, does it make sense, the whole verse? We grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Truth is one of the things we do. This verse, the first part, speaking the truth, it's one word. There is no English translation for that because it's one word. So then it's broken down into two words, speaking truth. But you could translate it, say, but truthing. So as Christians, one of our main jobs, one of our main callings is to truth with each other. We speak truth. But how do we do it? In love. Because there's two extremes. And many times you see these extremes. There's the people that are afraid to speak truth. I'm afraid to tell people. They might be offended. But then on the other extreme, you have people who are harsh. You're a sinner. What did you do? You lied. You're a liar. Both are not the way God designed us. And I'm not saying to go to the middle. I'm saying let's grow in both areas, which is truth and love. And when you bring them together, it's not the middle. It's something greater. It's not just you kind of go into the middle. No, it's speaking all the truth you know, but with all the love you have. So we get better and better at it. So let's dive into that. Love speaks truth in love. How do you become a person where love drives you to speak? I love this verse. It talks about Jesus in Matthew 9:36. He says, seeing the people, we see people every day, he felt compassion. This felt compassion, right? He felt compassion for people. If you read this word compassion, it's used again and again with Jesus. He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. Remember the series on brokenness? We talked about a lot of brokenness, right? My brother and I were saying, you know, sometimes there's a, not shortcut, there's a way to stay broken where you yourself aren't always being squished. How? When you have compassion on people, and you see people distressed and dispirited, you start to feel a brokenness for them. So I pray all of us have that compassion. So when we see people, we start to think, what can I do for this distressed person? You know, sometimes, you know, like Paul said, silver and gold have I none. Sometimes we think, if I just had more money, it's not money that people need, right? But what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. So what we have is truth. When someone is down because they feel unloved, how do you tell them they're loved? You can't, it's very hard to just go, hey, why are you feeling down? You're being emotional. You're loved by God. Does that work? Doesn't really work when someone's really down, right? You have to pray, Lord, how do I speak to them? So distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. This is a picture of a walkway near our office. And I share this picture because it has a special meaning to me. There is a lady that would sit here, and I would pass by her many days. And I'm a hypochondriac, so what I would do, this is what it looks like. I'm walking, and I see her. And she's an older lady, and she has a Bible and a cup. And here's what's in my mind. She's using the Bible to get me to give money because I'm thinking she's a nice lady. So I'm judging her already. But what if she's an angel in disguise? So God, I want to... You see how legalistic I am? You see the crazy thinking? Lord, I want to be kind. Okay, so I take some money, and I'm afraid to touch the cup because it might have viruses. So I try to aim it, then I shoot it in. And then I try to say, God bless you, and I go on. So I'm trying to be better than just giving money. And I pat myself on the back, and I think, you're a good man. You love someone. I do that regularly. And one day, my brother came into my room, and he said, do you know that lady who sits on that walkway? By the way, this walkway is that tall walkway. You guys know the walkway in Shaw? There's a walkway in Shaw that's not normal. It seems to go everywhere and nowhere at once. You guys know this walkway near Unimart? Where does that walkway come from? Where does it go? No one knows. It pops up in weird places. Someday when you're near Unimart, you look, you'll see something. It's like a wonder of this country. But this lady is there. And he goes, do you remember that lady? I said, yeah, I see her all the time, probably scamming us. He says, I sat down and talked to her. Like, you did? I'm thinking, that's very dirty. You know, you sat there. And he said, I asked her why she's there. And she told me that she came to Manila to work as a helper, and they canceled they didn't need her anymore, and she didn't have enough money to go back. So she's just trying to get enough money to go home. I looked at him, I said, so what did you do? He said, so I asked her how much she needed, and she just needed a few hundred pesos. And I shared the gospel with her and gave her the money. And she was crying. And I looked at my brother, and I felt sad because I felt convicted. And I said, you know, I said to him, wow, I never thought of that. And I told him, well, let's check if she's still there in a few days. I've never seen her again. I've never seen her there again up to this day. And trust me, I look sometimes. And I was convicted because when I saw her, I didn't have compassion. I had this urge to do what I felt I should do so that God would be happy. But I didn't want to know what's going on in her life. And that's what we're talking about. When we say love speaks truth, why? The Bible tells us, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue. It's very easy to talk. We talk, trust me. I'm talking. But in deed and truth. Truth involves speaking. But God is saying, do not just say stuff. If you're going to say something, speak truth. And if you're going to do it, why not do it with deeds? So that the combination of love then makes the truth real. Makes sense? Deed and truth. So truth is so important. It is one of the things we do, right? I said that. What does truth do? You guys know this verse. It's a long slide, but the verses are familiar. It says, you will know the truth. And what will the truth do? The truth will set you free. And they said, we have never been enslaved. How is it that you say you shall be free? Be like, why? I've never been enslaved. And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. You know, we live in a world full of sin. You're looking at a world full of people enslaved. And you have truth with you. So how do you help bring the truth so people will be set free? You can tell when someone's been set free. I found an article. It came in my news feed. This is in January. This is recent. You guys can look this up. It says, a Michigan man finds $43,000 in a donated couch, and he returns the cash to his previous owner. When I read it, I said, now I always want to know why people do things. It really intrigues me as a person. Because sometimes I wonder, does Jesus make a difference? So I started researching, and I told my brother, I was curious what this man believed. You know, the truth in his life. And I found this blurb. It says here, as a born-again Christian, this is him being interviewed, I want to do what Christ would want me to do. And I think that's what he would want me to do. This guy found money in a couch that he bought from Habitat. So he doesn't even know who owns the couch. It's just there. He could have rationalized so many ways to keep $43,000. For the, you know, that's over times 50. That's over 2 million pesos. What would you do if you found 2 million pesos in a couch that was donated and you already bought it secondhand? You could probably think, God, this is your answer to my needs. Hallelujah, right? But this guy said, maybe the previous owner needs this. He's not a rich guy. So he went back, tried to find out who donated the couch. He didn't give it to Habitat. He said, who donated the couch? When they told him, or they found the person, it was from a person whose grandfather kept money in a couch, because he that's how he lived, frugally. So he had saved over the years. So this man, his testimony, the truth in his life is there for all to see, right? The truth changed him. We should be like that. Now, who likes to be corrected? Raise your hand. You like to be corrected. Some of you are mature. Who does not like to be told what to do? Raise your hand. Let's be honest. Husbands, do you like it when your wife tells you what to do? Do you? Maybe, but in general, right? But do you know that most of us actually at times want to be told what to do? How many of you use Waze? Raise your hand, be honest. Who uses Waze? Okay. Waze is like, if you have the woman voice, it's like your wife telling you what to do in the car every step of the way, right? But I don't mind. Turn left, turn left. In 30 meters, turn right, I turn right. Why am I happy to follow Waze? But when my wife says, turn here, I'm like, I know already. Why is it that I listen to Waze and then I don't want to listen to my wife? Why is it? I was asking my brother, and we came up with this idea that we actually, it's not true that people don't want to be told what to do. It's just often we think we know more, so we don't want someone to tell us what to do. But if we get sick, what do? We go to the doctor. Doc, I don't know what's going on. Am I sick? Am I dying? Do I have this, right? We ask for advice. So we actually, as people, are looking for direction. We are. I share this because you're going to be on the other end. You're a person who knows truth. And you're going to talk to someone who doesn't want to be told what to do. How do you change that heart? How do you, don't try to manipulate them, but what's going on that they don't like to listen, right? So, this next verse, I just want to remind people, we're not trying to become the ways of the world. That's something that's the Bible's job. That's God's job. The directions is all from the Bible. What's our job? We're the mouthpiece. We're the testimony that points to the Bible, to Jesus Christ, so that people, when we bring them to God, they want to follow. They say, this Bible has truth in it. So the Bible says, right, your word is truth, the Bible. Jesus is the truth. People listen to those they trust. That's what this slide is about. So when we talk about love speaks truth, people like to listen to people that's in there. You've heard of the circle of trust, right? Remember, there's a movie, Meet the Fockers. Do you remember that movie? The ring of trust or the circle of trust? I don't know if you know that movie. It's an old movie. I'm getting old. No one knows the stuff I know anymore. But how do you enter a person's circle of trust? When you listen to them, when you know them, when you protect them, when you love them, when they know this, not just you say, I love you, I protect you. It doesn't work like this. Honey, the things I say are for your protection because I love you. Do this, do this, do this, do this. Does that work well? A person has to know, I know this person loves me. So I have a verse here. It says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. So God's word is truth. So we let the truth dwell in us. And then with all wisdom, because we're growing, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We use God's word to speak truth. The truth we speak must always come from what's God's word in our life. We don't invent truths. And when you do that, it's a relationship that's awesome. So on the one hand, speaking the truth is hard, correct? It's hard. But there is a vision I want to give you that it doesn't always have to be. Those of you who are in a healthy relationship, as in a D group, for example, there's an openness. You can speak into my life, I can speak truth into yours. And it grows and grows. I have a wonderful example for us, and some of you have seen this because this was posted on Valentine's.
I love you, baby. At that time, Luneta was very nice. You have the Rizal statue. It's a tourist attraction. And you have the beautiful sunset.
Actually, after our date, he spoke in a small church in Manila. And I thought, I'd like to marry a man like him, who loves God and serves God from his own resources.
Oh, where should they put your church? Your favorite color? Pink? Green, I thought green. Holy. Green. Yan pala, hindi, no? No, that's my favorite color. That's mine.
That's it. Mine is green.
Oh, green.
Half right. 50%. 50%.
For us, we always look for improvement. So we usually ask ourselves, we ask each other, how can I improve? How can I become a better husband? So through this kind of question and answer, we get to know each other more.
I think if you know somebody, you really want to get to know them and you want to please them. So as a wife, I really want to know what he likes so that I can do it for him because I want to please him and serve him. And I do that because I love him and I also love Jesus.
That's a normal occurrence. They have a relationship where they are always speaking truth to each other. And you know, we have family dinners where sometimes it's, what can you do better? What can I do better? I have so many things to always improve on in my parenting and how I treat Jennifer. But at first I react, but then what? I trust them. I know that my family is not trying to just give me a hard time, so I listen. And I pray that we understand this concept. Why? You want to build relationships so that people want to hear truth from you because they know you are speaking truth. So how do we do that, right? How do we speak truth to people? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, 20-23, I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means, I might save some. He doesn't say he can save all men. That's God's domain. He's saying some might be saved as he becomes all things to all men. So we're not saying you forsake speaking what's important. I'll do what you want. No. But as Christians, and I remember this was discussed in IDC by Bruce at one point. He said, you must learn as much as you can to become the best instrument that God made you to be. That's growing. We adjust our methods, but we do not change the truth. We proclaim the same truth in different ways, right? So you'll notice the video we did earlier for the youth conference, it was different. For those of you who are from an older generation, you're like, what's wrong with that video? My dad, he was looking at it. I said, Dad, it's a normal video. It has distortion because young people use that kind of video now. So they look for, and it's kind of creative. It doesn't mean something's wrong with the video. That's what I mean. The style can change, but the substance should never change, right? Like apples of gold in a setting of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Just a word. Sometimes one word changes everything. Like earrings of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover. Notice, a wise reprover. It's not just there's a listening ear, There's someone who's wise, that's speaking. That's my prayer for all of us, that you will have a hunger for people and a hunger to speak truth and to grow in wisdom, so that when people meet us, you know, I remember someone told me a story. They were at a wake, and someone was visiting. Or no, someone was at the wake who did not know Jesus. And the person at the wake blurted out something negative about that person's background. Without considering, they're going to hear the gospel tonight. If I blurt this out, they'll think that's how Christians are. And to this day, that event has been remembered by that family. It's not wise, right? So we be careful. What do you see? What do you see? A, B, C. What do you see? 12, 13, 14. What is it? Is it A, B, C, or 12, 13, 14? When you approach people, they don't see things the way you see it. We always think it's obvious. It's not obvious. It's obvious to you. And that's the reason we must grow in wisdom. We need to learn to understand what's going on in people's hearts and minds before we start bombarding them with truth. Because I can't tell you how many times I've given advice, and three sentences later, I realized my advice was all wrong. Has that ever happened to you? I spoke too soon. That's not their issue. So we must become better about listening. And one of the best ways to become better is to practice this. Before you talk to your friends about God, talk to God about your friends. Lord, what is the truth that this person needs? You know why? That heart attitude, that desire, God will honor. And that heart attitude, God will use. Because when we talk to people, there are many needs people have. They have external needs. They have internal needs. They have spiritual needs. And when you speak truth, sometimes you don't want to jump here, right? Depends. So different people need different things. Remember, different strokes for different folks. So an example of truths, as you're thinking of truths to speak, I don't want to make it so theoretical. External. What are truths you need to hear? I'll tell you what I've heard from my family. Sleep better or more. Eat less sugar. You know, cancer eats sugar also. So you eat sugar, you're feeding cancer. This is advice we need to hear. Church, we need to grow healthier, right? This is important truth. Exercise. These are obvious truths. Sometimes you have to tell people this, but no one wants to be told what to do. Why? Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, of God, right? There are underlying truths, so we honor that. We have one body to serve God with. God commands discipline. So there's the eat healthy, but there's also why. And if you have the right motive, it comes together well. Internal truths, as an example. What are some internal truths? Don't give your heart to someone who doesn't love God. This is a truth that people need to hear. How do you speak to someone who's in love? Right? I can tell you stories and stories. There's so many truths. Today, my goal is not to tell you all the truths. This is an area you grow in. So we'll grow. And then there's the spiritual truths, the foundational. Like, sin will destroy you. Sin, God's wrath is poured out against sin. Sin, God hates it. These are truths we need to teach. Yes, God is love, but God hates sin. But they come together because He hates sin, He gave His own life for it, right? So these are truths. Sometimes people need to hear God loves you. So I share this because as you have conversations, it is a skill. It is a growth to become good at this. Here are some speak killers. This is the speak killers. These are the speak builders. This is not an exhaustive list. You can add so much more. You can just take a picture because I'm not going to take time. I will pick one as an example. Poor body language. Appropriate body language. You know, poor body language, I've talked to people and they're looking at their phone or their watch. They're like looking who's coming in the room because I'm not cool enough to talk to. You know that feeling. You're sitting at a dinner table and they're like looking and they're nodding their head. I'm like, you're not listening to me at all. I've done it to people. What is appropriate body language? You know, the way you listen. You don't want to be just staring at them like this. It's, you know, that's kind of freaky. So there is a balance. We grow at it. You'll make mistakes, trust me. It's okay. That's how you learn. So we learn how to become better at getting people to speak. Why? Not because we are manipulating them. Because we genuinely love and care. And we want to hear, we want to know what's going on in your life. What are the distresses of your life that I can speak truth into? It's beautiful to live this way. You know why? Everywhere you look, there are needs. People who do not live this way, they're self-focused, they become distressed, depressed. Why? They're always thinking of their issues. But if you are always reaching out to people, you have no time to worry about yourself. And then you see God work. Remember, Bruce again said, do you have stories to tell your children? I wept. When Bruce said, for the context, for those of you who didn't hear all his talk, he said, some of you second-generation Christians, you've heard your parents' stories, but you have none. Because you don't live in a way where you step out for God to work. What kind of life is that? That's a life that is speaking truth in love. And you start to see stories. I could sit here and tell you, just since Bruce's talk, stories and stories, because I took that to heart. And by God's grace, I'm a selfish man, but I've started to listen to people. And I, stories and stories in just 2 weeks, what God has done. I see it, and it's so wonderful. And I write these down, so someday I will tell my children the works that God has done in my life and in the lives of people I know. Love speaks truth. Where am I? In love. Now, I'm sorry, I'm jumping around. Sometimes we have to be harsh. There is a time to jump in. You know, Jesus with the Pharisees, he did not pull any punches. Remember, he said, you brood of vipers, and then he launched off. Well, how did he treat the prostitute? He was kind. So we have to understand when to do what. This is an example of Nathan. Remember, I shared this when I spoke on David. Nathan and David. David had done the worst thing. He was hiding his sin. You know, Nathan, when he approached David, he could have been killed. But Nathan told a story. And David was so caught up in the story that by the time Nathan gave the punchline, he was completely in David's circle of trust. And he heard from Nathan the truth from God. And David's anger burned against the man in the story. He didn't realize the man in the story is him. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. So Nathan did not pull any punches. He said, you are the man. And then David said, I have sinned against the Lord. You know, one of the greatest things we do with each other is to remind each other of the danger of sin. I have disciples. I have two main ideas in my head. How can I bring them closer to God? What are the truths I need to speak? It's a very simple thought process. But what are the barriers to them drawing near to God? And the biggest one is sin. Not necessarily big sins, any sin. So I always ask people, is there any sin in your life? And you'll be surprised. I have found it's true. There's a correlation. Those who have ongoing sin, like pornography, the maturity doesn't go anywhere. They grow and they get stuck. They grow and they get stuck. The joy of the Lord, it's gone. It comes and then it's gone. It comes and they're so confused. It goes on and on. Those that have let go of sin through God's power for God, I've seen it also. The growth, it's amazing. Why? Because the growth is natural because of God's work, right? He who began a good work in you will complete it. But sin, it's not that God isn't powerful. It's we're choosing sin over God. And that's a challenge. So one of the things we do in life is to speak against sin. Now, love speaks truth in love. God is always looking for better men. I'm giving you a method, but remember, the method is not the key. You will learn the method if you are the man and woman that God designed you to be as you grow and grow and grow and grow. So love speaks truth in love. This is the example of Jesus and the woman at the well. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So notice, Jesus did not approach her with the disciples, because they came back later. He chose a time when she was there, and there was not a lot of them. Again, I think Jesus is very wise. Now, what did the woman do? She said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman?" So the Jews and the Samaritans, they don't get along. The Jews don't like them, right? They're half-breeds. There's all this history I won't have time to go into. But you notice the woman becomes defensive. "Why are you asking me for water? This is not normal." What does Jesus do? He doesn't say, "Well, because," no, he doesn't say, "I am the Christ." He says, "If you knew the gift of God," notice, "and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." So now he answers her in a very curious way. What does she think? So she gets curious. She says, "Wait a second, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. How will you get this water?" She's like, you don't make any sense. Now she's curious. You notice he's drawing her out. She now adds in some, theology. She goes, "You are not greater than our father, Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Does Jesus answer this? Does he say, "I am greater"? Of course. "I am the God of Jacob"? He doesn't say that. What does he say? Uh-oh, what's happening to my slide? He said, "Well, everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I give will never thirst. But the water that I give him will become a well of water springing up to eternal life." He's saying things. Do you think she understands? Do you think the girl is understanding now what he's talking about? These are amazing truths. If I had time, I would dive into this. All of us are thirsty all our lives. And unless we get God, we will always be thirsty. But when God fills our life, it becomes a well that comes out. It's like the message last week. Love is from God. Then it comes out, springing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, "Give me this water." And what does she think of? "I don't want to come back here. I don't want to come and draw water. I don't want to be thirsty anymore." She's still thinking of water. She's still thinking of her physical need. So what does Jesus do to transition? Because he was talking about external, but he's already referring to internal, but she doesn't get it. He says, "Go call your husband and come here." Interesting, right? He doesn't go into discourse, "Well, the water I give is like this." No. Very interesting, the wisdom of God. "Go call your husbands." And she says, "I have no husband." And Jesus said, "You're right. You have correctly said, 'I have no husband.' You're not lying to me." Right? Oh, sorry. Yeah, Jesus said to her, "You're correct. But you have 5 husbands. And the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." Interesting. Again, I don't have time to talk about all the implications. But the woman said to him, "You must be a prophet." So she's now thinking, this is not normal. So see, she's now gone beyond water. She's forgotten about water. She's now thinking, you're different. How did you know something about me? Do you know that when we come to God in prayer, when we know the truth in the Bible, sometimes as you speak to people, they'll say this, that's different. You're speaking something that speaks to a different level of who I am. Then she kind of goes everywhere. She says, our fathers worship at this mountain. You people say in Jerusalem is the place. Jesus does not bite the bait. He doesn't go deep into this. He just says, an hour is coming. Neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. So he's saying, you got it wrong, right? And then the woman says, so she's now trying to figure things out. She says, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us. So after he speaks and she thinks he's a prophet, she now asks another question. She says, the Messiah is coming. She implies, right? Then Jesus says, I who speak to you am he. And what happens in this? Jesus reveals who he is. I am the Messiah. Do you notice he didn't say, I am the Messiah. She said, the Messiah is coming. And then Jesus said, I am he. He didn't say so much about who he was. She was saying it, and he just answered it. And then what happened? I jumped down to verse 39. From that city, many believed in him. Because of what? The word of the woman who testified. He told me all the things that I have done. People came. They believed. And then many more believed because of his word. And they said to this woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one indeed is the Savior of the world. It is never our goal when we speak truth for people to stay with us, because we are the source of truth. We are always speaking truth to point them to Jesus, so when they meet Jesus, they will say, the first time I came to church, the first time I prayed that prayer and I gave my life to Jesus, it's because you invited me and I saw something in your life. But now, it's because I met him who you pointed me to. And he really is the Savior, not just of the world, but of my life. That is where we point people to Jesus, to the Word of God, so they find him. And it's God who speaks to them, right? It's all God's work. So I just summarized it here. You can take a picture, those who like summaries. But again, you don't have to video me, but her need, what did Jesus talk about? And her response, she needed water. Jesus talked about water. She said, I want that water. Her need was acceptance and love. This is a deeper need. He talked about her many relationships. You have five, this. You're looking and you never found it. Then she says, you must know something about me. You must be a prophet. Then she asked the question, how do I worship God? You know, where do we worship? He said, believe me, this is what true worship is. He says it in the passage, right? She says, well, then tell me about the Messiah. She says, a Savior is coming. He says, I am the one, and then she believes. Do you see now how Jesus started, kind of what I'm saying, right? From external needs, he drove to the heart. And that is an example of how we can speak truth in love. Love speaks truth, how? Love. I have a testimony. Isabel, can you come up? This is an example of someone who encountered truth. Will you guys please welcome Isabel?
I remember sitting on the floor, facing out the window high above the streets of Makati, blankly staring at a beautiful sunset. As darkness started to set in my room, the feeling of emptiness in my heart was worse than usual that night. Tears started to fall from my eyes, and the questions, how did I get to this point? Where is my life going? Why am I still alone? And why am I here? Played in my mind over and over. I had an amazing childhood that filled with love and everything a child would ever need and want in a family. I am blessed to be able to say that I have no bad memories, and my parents had a love for each other and for their children that most only dream of having. My parents believed in God and made sure we were fully aware of his presence and the power of prayer. They planted the seed in my heart, and I remember being excited to have my own family one day, just like ours. Fast forward in life, I met my college sweetheart in Manila at the age of 18 and eventually married him in my mid-20s while already living in San Francisco. After a huge breakup, I would pray at the same time and the same place every single day for 3 months for us to reconcile and for marriage to happen. And my prayers were actually answered. God was amazing. As years passed, I was aware of God still, but mostly only when I needed something. I thought I did everything right and just as my husband wanted. I gave myself completely to him, all of my heart and soul. I thought I didn't really need God much since I was happy anyway, but issues arose and I found myself becoming a divorcee at 31. No amount of words can express the heartache and pain I endured in the years to follow. In my mind, I was confused because how could this have happened when I gave the best of my entire life? I felt completely worthless and my world was shattered. So shattered that I ended up making very wrong decisions in hopes not only to numb the pain, but to punish myself for failing. Why did God answer my prayers only for it to be taken away? Was I not worthy to Him too? Because of this, my faith slowly faded and the dark world found its way into my life in the form of harmful substances. My self-esteem and insecurities were way beyond low, and quite frankly, I never thought I'd make it out alive. Eventually, I found myself praying on my knees, asking God to help me through everything. I couldn't stand myself. I finally had the courage to get professional counseling, stopped associating with toxic people and places, and also finally told my parents the truth about my life after hiding my divorce from them. And within days, they flew over to San Francisco just to be with me and to show me support. In time, I straightened myself out, but truthfully, although I knew my parents loved me, I could never believe any guy would want to stay in a relationship with me. I was still ashamed, not only because of a failed marriage, but also because I allowed myself to lower the standards of my life by abusing myself. I moved back to Manila in 2012 to be with my mother, and all I did was work since my life was starting from scratch. After 5 years of not dating anyone, I prayed to God and told Him I was ready. It was so surreal because within 2 weeks, I reconnected with a special friend. With his charm, wit, and persistence, I eventually fell in love and decided I'd give my heart and trust once again. I let my walls down completely. Though well-meaning friends cautioned me about getting into this relationship, I chose not to listen and put my trust entirely on my new partner, even ahead of God. Several months into the relationship, it became toxic, with a lot of lies and deception. The relationship turned into repeated cycles of breaking up and making up, leaving me feeling used and blamed as the root of the dysfunction. I was made to believe that I and my past was the problem and was told that I should seek counseling and attend Bible studies. I was lost, confused, and found myself back to questioning my worth and even my sanity. My heart was again shattered in disbelief. Once again, I gave the very best of me only to end up alone and mistreated. But this time, I knew I didn't want to go back to that dark world. I wanted God to step in and to save me, to take control of everything I was feeling and doing. I started going to a D group and went through one-on-one counseling on my own. I eventually found myself attending worship services in CCF Makati every Sunday and Women to Women out of desperation. It was at this point that my life began to transform in ways I cannot even put in words. I was so desperate for God, I fell to my knees every day and I surrendered completely. I finally started to feel Him and His works in my life. The one thing I did differently this time was I opened my heart fully and focused only on Jesus. Every time I could feel my heart break or started really feeling worthless, I would pray to the Holy Spirit. Sorry, this is because I really love Jesus. And listen to audio prayers on Abide, and that would calm me. I started having more prayer time and a lot more conversations with Him, so much that I cannot remember life anymore without Jesus. If there was anything I was very grateful for to this special friend of mine, it was for my broken heart and his suggestion to go attend D group. I have learned to let go, but to also love in a very unconventional way, unconditional way. Because of this desperation for God in my heart, I found the true love of my life, Jesus. And it is because I love Jesus so much that I am able to extend forgiveness and compassion to all who have done me wrong. I am God's daughter, and He made me. Everything about me, He loves me. Knowing this to heart has changed my outlook in life, and knowing this to heart is all I need to know. I smile now with a sense of pride of being His daughter, and what an honor it is to be His. I see things differently now, and I also know another reason as to why I went through all that again. Little did I know that God had allowed this all to happen to me in preparation for what was soon to happen. My mother was diagnosed with white brain matter disease, and I was afraid my world would fall apart again, knowing how fragile I was, and that my faith was definitely being tested. But I remember this from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Sorry. I'm a child of God, and He loves me. I have taken my mother in, and I take care of her with a faith so strong that I am able to do so without falling apart emotionally every day. This is a good one. Soon after this new development, I was baptized, and so was she. My mother would join me in Women to Women in spite of not being able to walk well, and eventually was baptized too. This was definitely a miracle. We prayed together daily, and she too knows how much God loves her. I know in my heart that God is with us every single moment of every single day and that He is in full control. I owe my devotion to God, to the experiences of brokenness and heartaches of my past. I forgive those who have used and hurt me, those who have let me down, those who have taken me for granted, those who saw me as worthless. And I forgive them, and most especially, I forgive myself for having allowed myself to believe I was such. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. My name is Isabel Lozano, a daughter of God, a lover of Jesus, who through God's love and promises has found the truth and the light in forgiveness and compassion. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. My life belongs to Him. To God be all the glory.
So love speaks truth in love. As I close, we speak the truth even when it is difficult. Even when it is difficult to accept. When it's difficult to say, we speak it because God promises to give us wisdom and to help us speak it. When it's difficult to accept, we speak it because people are not rejecting us when they reject truth. They're rejecting God. It's okay to be rejected. Our job is to do our best. Difficult to face the consequences. In other words, what happens if someone gets mad at me for speaking truth? Do you know the consequences they face if they don't hear the truth are far greater than the consequences you face? What's a little rejection in this life compared to eternity in hell? So we love people. We set aside our pride. But we try to do it in a loving way, right? So again, love speaks the truth because true love is what? From God, an unconditional commitment towards imperfect people to seek their highest good, oftentimes requiring sacrifice. And that is the sacrifice. I have one more section to run through, and I don't want to lose it. I want to bring you back to Ephesians. I need you guys to see this. And I want to speak truth to those here today. In Ephesians 4, after he says, speak the truth, he says, I affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as what? The Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God. There is a darkness people walk in. It says, but their minds, but because of what? because of ignorance, a lack of truth that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they having become callous, what do people do? We see this. They give themselves over to sensuality, the practice of every kind of impurity with greed. The Bible tells us that there is a blindness. And we saw this verse in Corinthians, right? It says their minds are hardened. When the Bible is read, the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted. Because what, guys? How is a veil lifted? Only one way. How? It is removed in Christ. When you talk to people and they don't understand the truth, there is a blindness. And there is no way for you to remove the blindness. You cannot remove it. Only Christ can remove it. It says this, there is a veil. But when does the veil taken away? Whenever a person turns to the Lord. This word turns, it's used in connection to repentance. In Acts, it says, therefore repent, and this is the same word, repent, metanoia, and then return. I can't remember the Greek, but it's a special word. It has to do with you change your mind and you come back to God so that your sins may be wiped away, that times of refreshing may come. Guys, remember I said sin. What do we all need? If there's anyone here today who has a fuzziness of thought when it comes to God, sometimes it's because we are still blind. And we repent because the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and those who suppress the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. There is only one way to God. Only through Jesus. Only through Jesus is the veil lifted. And the power of that is this. The wrath of God. For the wages of sin is death. But the love of God, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to understand this love. And I have a short clip to show you. Can you show the second clip? It's a 1 minute clip.
You can sit down, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Judge.
Mr. Carrera, you are charged with a school zone violation.
Beg pardon?
You are charged with a school zone violation,
right,
which means that you were exceeding the speed limit in a school zone.
I don't drive that fast, Judge. I'm 96 years old, and I drive slowly, and I only drive when I have to. I was going to the blood work for my boy. He's handicapped.
Huh. You were taking your son to the doctor's office?
Yeah. I take him for blood work every 2 weeks because he's got cancer.
You are a good man. You are a good man. You are you really are what America is all about. Here you are in your 90s, and you're still taking care of your family. That's just a wonderful thing for you. Well, how old is your son?
63.
Yeah. And you still, Daddy's still taking care of him, right?
I only drive when I have to.
Yeah. Listen, sir, I wish you all the best. I wish the best for your son, and I wish you good health, and your case is dismissed. Good luck to you, and God bless you.
Thank you.
You know, I showed that because I want you to understand, we have a father who loves us more than that father loves his 63-year-old son. We have a father who will love us when we're 90, if we live that long. It says, this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. You know, sin is terrible, and I hope to scare you into salvation. But I think what draws us is love, and God's love is greater. And I hope that all of us here, when the Bible tells us what to do, we are not afraid to follow. Why? God gave his best for us. Remember I said that circle of trust? There's one person that should be there that you trust more than anything, even yourself. It's God's word, God himself, and what he tells us in his word. You know, that's why we tell you truth. Let's go forth and speak truth to people so they can experience this loving Father and be changed, not just for now, but for when they're 40 and 60 and 90 and when they're a million years old in eternity, life forever changed. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for how awesome you are. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today who doesn't know you, they will open their hearts to you and say, yes, I need a father like that. And yes, I'm sorry for my sin. I repent and I return to you, God. So if there's anyone there, you know, you just talk to God. You say, Lord, I repent for my sin. You can pray with me now. And I return to you. I need a savior. I need you as my father. Will you come into my life and change me and do that work that you do? And Lord, I lift up to everyone else here. May we walk with you, and may we remember, Lord, that love speaks truth in love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.